Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance, 20-12, which is a budget ordinance, for the purchase of a new Caterpillar motor grader.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Discussion. Would you like to suspend the rules?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll move to suspend the rules to hear from the Public Works Director, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Do I have a second to suspend the rules to hear from our Public Works Director?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. All those in favor of suspending the rules indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Bill, if you can come on up here. I guess Ms.
Just so you're aware, trying to get through my notes here. So one of our graders is a 2004. It has about 9,800 hours on it. The other one's a 2009. It has 8,800 hours on it. Is that better? And right around 10,000 hours on this equipment, you know, large parts of this equipment start failing. And we run out of time. It's hard to get things fixed out here fast. Our grade, you know, as you can, they're getting old. We need a new grader. We had one in the budget. We pulled the grader out of the budget, you know, because we're trying to balance the budget. That's why it got removed during the budget process. But it was in there at that time. And that's why we're asking for the budget mod now. The newest grader we have, we built the front end. Well, let's see, we built the left side. Rebuilt the left side last year. We're rebuilding the right side right now. So we do have a grader down. This winter, if we have a grader go down, or both of them go down, it's going to get ugly around here. You know, we got to be able to maintain these roads. That's why we're asking for this budget mod.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any further questions, Mr. Springer? Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Hearing none. Since this is a budget ordinance 20-12 that we'll be voting on, I would like a roll call vote. Ms. Strickler.
Councilmember Diamond.
Yes.
Councilmember Hewitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Budget ordinance 20-12 has passed unanimously. Item number 10, new business. Item 10.1, which was on the consent agenda, was pulled, which is the resolution 20-09, requesting the Alaska Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office prohibit sales of alcoholic beverages by means of a curbside pickup and home delivery unless the sales are accompanied by the sale of a meal. This was introduced by Ms. DeWitt. I would entertain a main motion to adopt resolution 20-09.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Leary. Discussion. As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt, you have first debate.
Yes. So, especially for people who are listening, this resolution would request that curbside purchases of beer and wine at Philly's restaurant or any restaurant that is so permitted in city premises would have to equal 50% of the total, could equal no more than 50% of the total purchase. So essentially this requires a 50-50 food / beer wine ratio, which would mirror the requirements set forth by AMCO for delivery. And so when these initial provisions were put forward by the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, there was no food requirement for curbside and a 50-50 ratio requirement for deliveries. And given that we're in a local option community, given some of the feedback we've heard from the public, and even given some of the restaurant owners' self-imposed changes to how they're doing business, I felt requesting that enforcement of a 50-50 ratio on curbside would be a better fit for this community. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Ms. Leary?
I guess I was just trying to pull up the exact language, but it should say, I do want to point out that the current regulation is not 50-50, that it's, if I could find food purchased at a retail price, it is at least 50%. See, I don't think that's, sorry, I feel like I was put on the spot here to try to correct this, but I know it's not a 50-50 the way it currently stands for food. It's that the food order has to be at least 50% of the alcohol. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting it. I don't have it directly in front of me.
Ms. Leary, would you like our attorney to maybe clarify?
Oh, sure. If Libby has this handy in her back pocket, it's close to that, and it's the way it's worded is very confusing, and I do best with an example with, like, this much pizza and this much beer. But, yeah, Libby, do you have that language handy, or is it in here, I think, but I'm just
yes, and I think, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I think shortly during the People to Be Heard segment, I probably emailed you guys what I think is correct here. I looked at these regulations, and I believe the rule is that under the current regulations, in restaurant dining is held to that 50% threshold by gross revenue, not per order, but right. The curbside threshold is per meal. And that's because the ABC, the alcohol board regs define meal as food purchased at a retail price that is at least 50% of the retail price of the alcohol purchase accompanying the order. So my understanding is that and that's the emergency reg that deals with that. The other regulation allowing an eating place, beer and wine license refers to at least 50% of the gross revenue of the licensed business. In the regulations dealing with letting people under 21 into the restaurant, there's three criteria that you meet to be a bona fide restaurant, which is the premises are licensed as a restaurant or eating place, at least 50% of the gross revenue of the licensed business is from the sale of food and non-alcoholic beverages, or three, the premises are a facility at which the patron's primary activity is dining. So arguably, I think, Philly's probably meets all three of those, and I don't think it has had to meet the 50%, at least under the regulation I just cited. It doesn't have to meet the 50% order threshold per order in the restaurant, but under the emergency regs, I believe it has to meet that per order, because the meal is the order, basically. Those two things are wrapped together in order of a meal. So long story short, as I read the regulations, 50% of the gross revenue per year has to be shown to be 50% food for the in restaurant dining, and under the emergency regulation in order has to be 50% food purchased at a retail price that is at least 50% of the retail price of the alcohol purchase quote accompanying the order. So the 50% threshold applies by gross revenue at the restaurant and 50% by curbside, sorry, for 50% by order and by order of the meal at the curbside. That is how I read these rather confusing regulations.
Libby, this is Perry.
Yeah.
Could you provide us with like a visual? I mean, can you say like if you order a $36 pizza and you're only allowed to order this many bottles of beer?
Well, I guess it goes by dollars. I guess it would depend on what it cost, right? So I think the 50%, as this ordinance is written, a meal shall mean food purchased at a retail price that is at least 50% of the retail price of the alcohol purchased accompanying the order. So I think what that means is, say a pizza costs, I'm just trying to use easy numbers here, $100. then I guess the alcohol purchase, my math is going to be bad, has to be $50, something like that. The point is it has to be half of the, and probably Mr. Perez could explain this better, how this works in practice, but half of the retail price of the alcohol. I'm reading this myself right now. To find the regulations. Okay, at least 50% of the retail price of the alcohol. So I guess if a beer bottle costs $10, the food has to be at least $5.
Or like if someone buys a 6-pack of beer, it's about $40. They have to spend $20.
Food. Yes, correct.
Okay. Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
I got a question for Ms. Bacalar. Evening, Libby. Contrasting this resolution with the next resolution, where I know that there's discussion about trepidation statewide about municipalities trying to really overreach Title 29 and taking the governor's word that it's okay to do things that the governor doesn't want to do. Does the language in this ordinance 2009, does this give you any trepidation about the city of Bethel through this resolution overstepping the ABC board regulations? Because I don't believe that we have the legal authority to tell somebody who's operating a licensed alcohol establishment that is not under a current constraint on the curbside sales from the state of Alaska. I don't necessarily believe that we can constrain them by saying, well, you can only sell, 50% of the transaction with an individual customer at your back door, curbside, must be food and not beverage. Am I looking at this in the
way? Councilmember Springer, that's a good question. I think because this is framed as a resolution and we are asking something of either the ABC board or the Department of Commerce, under which it's housed, more directly the ABC board, or I guess the office, AMCO. We're basically, all the code provisions and all the provisions in Title IV refer to the local governing body raising issues before the board and before AMCO. And that's really what this resolution is doing. It's simply saying, here we believe there is a violation of the spirit, if not the letter, of these regulations, and that it's defeating the purpose of curbside pickup. There's a de facto liquor store happening. I do not personally have any input on that at all. I'm just explaining to you what you would be voting on. And this would be the vehicle that would allow the administration to go to the ABC board or AMCO and present it and say, here's our resolution, please act on this. There's a number of different ways that the board and AMCO can act. And this would be the first step to getting them to take some form of action, whether that would be the board or whether that would be AMCO, I'm not sure. But it's very clear to me from the code that the first step in bringing up an issue that we have with a licensee, or that rather the council has with a licensee, is to bring any infraction of that license that we don't have the power to act on. They have the power to act on that because they're the independent licensing body of this establishment. And they can take this for what it's worth and they can do with it what they will. But they're the body that gets to decide that. So I don't think we're overstepping our bounds because we're just asking them to honor a request and make a decision about how to evaluate the situation and how to impose these restrictions or not, however they go about doing that. There's a number of procedures and processes, none of which I could see quite perfectly fitting into this necessarily. But I don't worry about what you're referring to as, stepping outside our authority by simply making this request. No.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, just one other question. Libby, do you know when the next ABC board meeting is?
I don't, but I can look that up online if you need me to.
Yeah, so can I.
Okay. Yeah, no, not off the top of my head. I don't. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move to suspend the rules to allow council to ask questions of the licensee, Mr. Perez.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. So moved. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Diamond. All those in favor of suspending the rules to hear from Mr. Perez indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Sorry about that, CC. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Springer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Perez, do you consider yourself to be a responsible businessman here in Bethel?
We sure hope so.
You hope so?
Yes, I am.
All right. Okay. Did you, or who's your co-licensee?
Sloan Unwin.
Okay. Didn't he used to work for Dave Cottrell?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When the ABC board changed their regulations, did you or Mr. Unwin express any particular sense of urgency to the AMCO office that you needed to get that permit right now?
Well, there was at first, when it first became set forth, they had actually left out our application. What happened was, the way the AMCO presented it was, you had to apply. There had to be a piece of a document that said you were requesting to go under those guidelines. At that point, there was no, they had actually somehow in error lost our filing for, we have multiple licenses in the state of Alaska. The big one that we had the concern about wasn't Philly's. It was about actually, I believe it was the Inn or it was Swiftwater, because in air they had left it out. And that's where that came about.
Okay. You, a couple of meetings ago, you suggested that you were on track to be paying the city, I guess by the end of the year, about $400,000 in alcohol sales tax. Is that?
Total tax, I believe.
Total tax, not just alcohol.
Yes.
Okay, what percentage of that you think would be alcohol?
Oh, I would have to look at all the documents. I don't know the exact.
Okay, figure. So even if it's half, that means that in the period from March until the end of the year, you've sold about $2 million worth of beer.
Yeah, that was also taken into consideration at the level that we were at that time. Because
right. Right. Okay.
Curbside does change that dramatically.
Yeah, so did you consult with AMCO at all about the scope of your original curbside sale program? Did you tell them, yeah, it seems like, in my experience at least, in another regulated industry, it's been the practice of licensees when something new and different is happening to just kind of give some advice. And I was just wondering if you said to AMCO, so what exactly does curbside delivery mean? Does it really mean that we can be selling four cases of beer out the back door?
No, what okay. We actually did, we have an attorney
that
we consult, and mm-hmm. She's actually taken forth all of our applications, licensing. We actually asked her to give a recap of what the license,
all right.
And her opinion, and she consulted with AMCO.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Yeah. So let me give you... Let me give you a chance to defend yourself. There were some statements made here tonight that people, and I know when I drove by there Friday night, the first two words came into my mind was fire marshal. What's the seating capacity in your restaurant?
I got to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's 70, I think.
Okay.
But we're not. We have very few. We're not inside. We reach capacity. We have basically seats for every person. We don't have people standing around at Philly.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting that. I saw an awful lot of, and I've seen a lot of cars there before, you know.
We only have, I think it's 24 parking spots. Sure. Actually out front, I think we have 14.
No, that's fine. Yeah. So when the governor opened the state up, what happened to the COVID-19 curve in the state?
One more time?
When the governor said, okay, everything's hunky-dory, the curve is nice and flat, Alaska's open for business again, what happened to the curve?
Well, I think the curve went up.
Yeah, well, that's correct. It did.
Do you want to let me finish up? Well, the curve went up, but also was attached to several other industries. For instance, in the last week, Copper River Seafoods had, I believe, it was 54 people mm-hmm. that were infected. Mm-hmm. The additional, and then if you look at it from the tourism side, I believe that tourists coming in testing positive actually was one-third of the total, might have been up to 35%. So there is an extended, it wasn't all bar and restaurant related. Anchorage is the only municipality that's actually restricted the amount of seating capacity at this time because Anchorage had a breakout. And if you actually look at the counts that were attributed to bars and restaurants, it's not that high. it came from Norway. Like I said, it was from what I saw, the mayor and the bars and restaurants in Anchorage are kind of in a war against each other. And I believe litigations are.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, we're not Anchorage. We're in Anchorage.
No, but I just
we don't have bars. Oh, we also don't have tourists or fish plants. However, you said you're a responsible businessman. Bethel has been working really hard as a community to keep our curve flat. Churches have closed. They've opened up a little bit, but they're not packing their house. You know, you see maybe two cars in front of the movie theater. Is it possible in your establishment, especially on a Friday night when, you know, people would rather drink a cold beer necessarily than eat a piece of pizza, is social distancing possible in your restaurant?
Oh, when we first came out with the first limited, there was releases on restaurants that went from 25 to 50 to 75 to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, when it first went even from 25 to 50, we actually closed tables. We hand-seated every person.
Mm-hmm.
When the governor opened up the 100%, at that point, because of our seating capacity and our building limitations, it makes it very difficult without... If you had tables in space and every 6 feet apart, you basically lose over half your restaurant.
Okay, so you're back to 100% seating capacity. Okay, so given that fact, is there any economic necessity for you to continue curbside delivery, which was instituted as a economic relief for restaurants that had alcohol licenses to continue to, make revenue when they're either able to seat nobody or a small number of people. Do you believe that it's an economic necessity for you now that you're at 100% seating? Nothing looks like it's going to change. Is it an economic necessity for you to continue to have curbside delivery?
If I can ask both of you to speak into the mic, you for our public.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So my question was,
first of all, as far as from an economic situation, I would say people across the street, people in Bethel, all have the same opinion. They do not go out to dinner like they used to. And right now our inside dining is down about 60%. So what's happened is that now our delivery has increased slightly, as well as most of the restaurants in the state have. So the question to that is, does COVID affect us directly? Yes, it does. It affects us dramatically. Curbside was set forth to try to, like you said, the overall program, I should say, was set forth to actually try to give business an opportunity to recover, like you were stating. Two meetings ago, I actually came and I said, we are prepared to put food restrictions on, but the only person that I heard from was actually Michelle. And we had been talking back and forth, you know, I actually don't have a problem with you putting a restriction on curbside. So, I mean, that's part, but like I said last time, what I'm looking for from city council is communication. Besides Michelle, I received none. I talked to Hugh one time, but that was it. And so, like I said, we're open to just about everything where it can be a win-win for both parties. But like I said, we were prepared to already put on restrictions. And then Michelle had announced that they were going to put a resolution forward, which I was fine with. We have our own already that we were going to put in place. I'm not going to put up one and then put up a second one to confuse our customers. And like I said, the idea behind it is that at the last meeting, I never objected to you putting restrictions on curbside. You can check the record for that. I said, I'd like to work with you guys to try to come up with a solution that can be, you know, a win-win for everybody or a win and a loss for everybody. And I think that's where all of us should be looking for. And you're right. The city voted for elimination of liquor stores at the last election. And they voted for a restaurant situation where you could consume beer and wine on premises. But there was no talk about curbside or delivery or anything like that because they weren't up in front of the public. So, I mean, we can say whatever we want to, but we don't know because the thing that I think people were voting against was hard liquor in the community and the liquor stores. So all I'm saying is that we, at one of the meetings prior, was actually almost allegations that we were doing something illegally, which we're not. And now I'm here, like I said, at last meeting, I actually have stated that I wanted to work with you guys to figure it out. But Michelle's the only one that that contacted me.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Perez, I wouldn't go and suggest that the voters in Bethel, when they voted to go to local option and to permit only restaurant licenses, I wouldn't buy the suggestion that, well, of course, they weren't thinking about curbside delivery. We didn't have curbside delivery in this state.
Exactly.
This was an emergency action by the ABC board under pressure from the alcohol industry saying, oh, man, we're going broke. You know, you got to let us. I mean, next thing you know, we're going to be able to have carry out plastic cups like New Orleans. So please don't suggest that there was an oversight on the part of the voters in Bethel. Not thinking that, well, you know, maybe there'll be a pandemic and we're going to push really hard for some economic relief and it's going to come in the form of.
That's not what I just stated.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, Mrs. Springer, what I stated to you was that the voting public never had this before them. We never knew about it. And as a result, now we're trying to correct them, what you want to see. And like I said, I've been open that way before this group last 2 weeks ago. And I said, I'm prepared to talk about whatever you guys need to talk about. And so how we can come to a conclusion and some type of remedy for the situation. If I didn't say that, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just wrap up and say that I think there's an awful lot of sentiment in the community that curbside delivery come to a stop. So thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Mr. Diamond.
Yeah. This resolution, which again, you know, this is a request to AMCO.
Sure.
Do you think it is something which can still allow you to survive, that curbside is 50% of?
Well, curbside under this dynamics of this, there will be no more curbside, because why would you go to the curb and you can have it delivered? The exact same.
Right.
So it's eliminating that. My position with it is, I really don't have a huge problem with it either way. Like I said before, if that's what everybody up here wants to do, so be it. You're not going to hear an objection from me over that. Like I've always stated, that I believe the best solution for the community is delivery, because nobody's on the road. And I think that's more important than any curbside. Now, Michelle and I think when we were going back and forth, you never heard me say, no, I don't want that. And so, like I said, okay, all we're trying to do is make it so that people, all of our customers will send you emails if you would like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the idea. I'm just trying to make it work so that the city's there. And if we come with inclusion, I don't think personally, I would tell you from a resolution standpoint, if you want to take it to AMCO, you can. But once again, I think Mr. Springer noticed when's the next meeting. If anyone has ever dealt with AMCO, I would tell you that you might be done with the extensions on this type of issue, or could be done by then. What I will tell you is that I'm prepared, when Michelle, like I said, she responded to it and told that she was going to be writing a resolution. You've never heard me say that, no, I wouldn't do that. Okay? I don't think that ever came out of my mouth. I said that all I pointed out was what the point of the governor's mandate was and what it was targeted at, and unless he had some underlying issues, but I don't think he did, what he stated they were for. It was to help business recover. I don't have problems if you think it's an issue. I would tell you right now that under this particular format, curbside will be reduced by at least 95%. There will be some people that just want to pick up something on their way home and dinner.
Yeah.
But that's it. The 95% will disappear. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, let it follow delivery. And you're not going to hear objection. My philosophy would be, if you want me to agree as a licensee, as a city ordinance, it'll skip the AMCO part of it, because it's going to change with the state.
Or we could do both. You could agree that these are fair terms, and we send it to AMCO too, right? We can do both.
It's fine. Yeah, okay. It's the same.
So I have no objection to this, but
yeah.
Roadside pickup really clearly is problematic. It is.
So it
really is. And if you're saying this is going to drop off your roadside delivery, then that's good. No. If you're saying these terms,
yes,
which you're saying you're willing to agree to, they can work for you, is going to drop off your roadside pickup 95%. I think that's going to take care of a lot of the problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like I said, I've never objected to anything that you guys have put forth.
And I never thought you did. And you and I had a good conversation. Yes. Yeah. But it really is problematic. It's a real issue. I just had to station myself in front of a chronic inebriate with a broken wine bottle. And I had to station myself in front of him waiting for the PD to come. So I was worried he was going to slash some little kid or a walking mother coming down the street from the fitness center. And I haven't seen a bootleg bottle of wine in this town in 30 years. But I see him now, right? And a broken bottle in a guy's hand. And I'm not blaming you for that, because he could have, someone bootlegged it to him, or someone at his house ordered it legitimately, you know, whatever. He was abusing it, but it was really a problem. So if you're saying this works for you, this it's going to work for us.
Yeah, so like I said, okay. I've always said to you that we're pro-city, and I want to do what the city wants. I think there's portions of it that, like I said, what I would suggest is that somehow the resolution, there was a, just so you know, the attorney did state the way it actually is that it's not 50-50, it's actually, the food has to be 50% right. of the.
It's one third, really, is what it is.
Essentially.
Right.
And so that's kind of where you have to be on that. And so, like I said, if you guys want to pass something here at a local level, and I'll put it in place, you know, with X amount of days, whenever you pass the resolution, we would do that.
And it means something to me personally, too, that because the restaurant business is down, I don't want to see businesses going out of business here or anywhere else. And so the emergency exception allowing delivery of that is reasonable to me. It's not what we voted for here,
no.
but we did vote for, you know, in dining and in drinking in the restaurant. But I can bend on the delivery, but the roadside pickup, anyway, it looks like a package store.
Yeah.
It looks and smells and like a package store. It really does.
I will tell you that probably
even at those prices, you have to charge.
No, and that was
incredible.
We have to charge by the
right.
bottle or by the glass because of our liquor license. Right. But I will tell you, in Anchorage and other parts, I have other licenses in other cities. I would say that probably 30% will fail within the next, you know, 8 to 10 months.
Yeah.
And it's ugly. So whether it helps them or not, I don't know.
But we are faced with unique alcohol problems here on the Delta. We are.
I do believe, though, that it is the severe problem here is not beer and wine. You know, Bethel Native Corporation operated a beer and wine before Sea Lion, or before UCI, I should say. It's actually the legal identity. But that was fine. Nobody seemed to take a real negative approach to it one way or the other. I believe it's the hard alcohol aspect where the problems are developing into major issues.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Ms. Hansen.
Yeah, I just had a, for my own ignorance sake. So you mentioned that, you know, anything going through AMCO would take a long time, and this seems to be done at that level and not just a local level. I'm just kind of wondering, I don't know if Michelle's the best person to ask or what, the difference between those and why this one is requesting AMCO to prohibit sales. Is that because of the alcohol regulation, or is this as opposed to doing it at a local level and requesting this? Does that make sense?
Oh, do you mean why we're bumping this up the food chain to AMCO as opposed to just resolving it now?
Yes.
So from my perspective, I think that the issue of alcohol is such a great importance and interest to this community. And with the extensions of these provisions going forward until November, which was a legislated, you know, solution, I felt we really needed a formal and legislated response. I have no idea what will happen in November, if this will go on or not, but it just seemed like with things extending, we needed a formal process for something that's important to our community.
Cool. Thank you.
For everybody's education, the next AMCO meeting is August the 18th.
But once again, yeah, normally I have to be on the agenda a little bit earlier.
Well, it's okay, because we've got your agreement that this works, that you can live with this, and we go to AMCO too, so that's great. So we take care of something immediately right now.
Correct.
And we can also wait for, but of course you're a free person, you can, we also wait for the authority of AMCO too, as well. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I'd be honest with you, this is not my thing, but as far as from the standpoint, I would just set a date from a local position and just, I will voluntarily self-impose that date. And so, because there are some products that we have purchased specifically for, or volume-wise as far, so we need to get rid of that from that standpoint. But yeah, and I'm not talking, it's a very short period of time. So I would just say whatever date you want to set that, you know, mandate. I do remember going with the liquor store, I think you were here already, right, Perry?
Mm-hmm.
When you changed when AC was coming on board, several of the liquor licenses as far as package stores were changed. And there was a certain period of time that was given for that. And so, like I said, if you just keep me in the loop, and I know Michelle did on this one.
Ms. DeWitt?
Yeah, may I ask a question? One more question?
Yes, ma'am.
So two things, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to read the distribution. Again, thank you to Councilmember Leary for pointing out that I described that incorrectly. I really appreciate that. I was tripped all over myself trying to discuss that. So I'll read that in a second. But I also want to talk about an implementation date, which you just brought forward. So should council happen to vote and pass this resolution tonight, you know, I'd be looking for this to be enacted as quickly as possible, given the response and some of the feedback we've had from community members about current curbside. So if we put an immediate date on it, would you be able to comply with that voluntarily immediately?
What I do need to do is post what is, because I don't want a customer appearing and taking a cab and paying for a cab to find out that they can't do it. So what I would like to do is post that at our doors so that people are aware of the situation, so that they have a brief period of time to become accustomed to that. Just because, whether it be the way the cabs are right now, I believe it's like $16 round trip. And so that's the one area that I'd like to have that little bit of a period of time. So what date do you have in mind?
Maybe August 1st, like 3-ish days.
I would tell you, if you can give me probably 7, just so that I have a full reign of a week for certain people. I have people appear on certain days, probably related to pay and days off and so forth.
You have made purchasing decisions, yeah, which all of a sudden this affects that. I mean, personally, I'm okay with a week as well.
Yeah, I just, like I said, it's just because of that. I want it to be fair to the customer as well.
Okay. All right. So that would make sense to me if you self-imposed within the week, and then we'll move this forward to AMCO and so on and so forth. But I'd also like to read this, the regulations again for the public. And I won't go through the whole clause, but as defined in regulations, a meal shall mean food purchased at a retail price that is at least 50% of the retail price of the alcohol purchase accompanying the order. And so that would mean for a $100 alcohol purchase, the food purchase would need to be $50, which would be, as stated previously, about a third of the cost. So thanks to everyone for clarifying that.
Yeah, and just so you know, our normal is, because of the cost of food and the cost, especially the cost of beer to go out, our food purchase normally exceeds our alcohol purchase, because there's no secret to it. You know, in the bottle of wine, it's going out and whatever yourself.
Mr. Mayor?
Just one thing for me, Mr. Springer. Just indulge me a second. Todd, I'm going to ask you to confirm that you're willing to self-impose this by or I'm on or by August the 4th.
That's fine.
Just to have it on record.
I am.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Springer.
Yeah, that's for sure. I just wanted to point out to everybody that this ordinance, this resolution, pardon me, this resolution should take effect immediately because it does not bind the licensee at all. It all it does is convey our request to the ABC board. That's all this. That's all that this resolution does. There's no reason why it can't be effective tonight or tomorrow morning, and that the city clerk begin the process of contacting AMCO and asking that we be on their agenda.
Mr. Well, Diamond.
Yeah, Mark, I don't think that. I mean, if this resolution passes, it can go out in the mail tomorrow morning. What we have is an informal agreement from the licensee that's separate from that issue. He's going to self-impose in 1 week.
No, that I agree. And so we have two options. We either vote the resolution down based on his, you know, agreement with us, or we pass the resolution and send it to AMCO.
We can hope. I'm hoping we can do both. We send this to AMCO, and we have the agreement from the licensee.
I totally agree. Further discussion?
CC, do you have anything?
I do not this time. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Leary.
I'll just say I'm in favor of this because it would appear that the business, what am I always going to sole proprietor, what do we call you? The owner.
Corporation, yeah.
Is in favor. I see this as a compromise. We're essentially eliminating, because who's going to do it? The curbside thing, which is what I think a lot of the complaints have been about. I'm in favor of this because I think, you know, we've received limited, or I have anyways, I've received limited feedback from the community against this. I have received some feedback saying that they're in favor of this and that, you know, y'all are following the letter of the law and doing what you're allowed to do under the state mandate. But, you know, I think the volume of customers speaks to people who are in favor of this, and that should not be ignored, that those are also members of our community whose voices mean something, even if they're not necessarily reaching out to us. But I see that as there are people in this community who are using this, you know, utilizing this service with your business, and I don't think that should be ignored. So I'm in favor of this. I see this as a compromise. And I think we should see how it goes. And if we need to revisit this, we need to revisit it. And thank you for being, you know, willing to work with us and self-impose.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you.
A restriction. So that's all.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do you have something else, Mr. Perez? Just one thing for me, Ms. Bacalar.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
How binding is this verbal agreement?
Maybe I would defer that question to the clerk, the city clerk, Ms. Strickler. I don't know if what he says there is under oath when he testifies before the council. I don't believe it's under oath. So I don't know how binding it is, really. I'd have to do a little bit more research into that. I think everybody here seems to be operating on the principle of good faith. I don't think there's any consequence. I don't think it's a binding agreement per se. He's testified in front of a legislative body as to his plans. Arguably, you know, it's if not illegal, it's certainly poor form, I would think, to go back on that after testifying in front of a legislative body for a certain cause of action is going to occur. But absent any sort of oath or a signed agreement or anything like that, I don't believe that representation is in any way binding necessarily.
Thank you, Ms. Bacalar. I think that, we operate in a smaller community, and it's we seem to trust our neighbors and our business partners. So I appreciate that. Ms. Strickler, do you have anything to add?
I do not.
Thank you. Further discussion?
our state, former state senator Ted Stevens said, a promise made is a debt unpaid. There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perez. Wonderful. I think we gained some understanding tonight and found that we have a willing business partner. So we're back to the main motion of adopting resolution 20-09, which is the resolution requesting the Alaska Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office prohibit sales of alcoholic beverages by means of curbside pickup and home delivery, unless the sales are accompanied by the sale of a meal. All those in favor of said resolution indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, say nay. We just voted, Mr. Perez.
It's no problem. Okay, fine. There's no wording about the split on this resolution.
What do you mean?
It's not following the respect of the mandate.
Point of order.
Yes.
Thank you. We voted on it, Mr. Perez. Okay. So we passed the resolution, adopted resolution 20-09. We're going to move on to item 10.2, which is resolution 20-10, establishing a policy within the city of Bethel that masks or similar face coverings be worn in public, indoor, and indoor adjacent spaces, and under certain conditions in outdoor spaces during the COVID-19 public health emergency. This was brought forth by Councilmember Leary, and this passed on the consent, or I'm sorry, no, this was pulled from the consent agenda. So I'll entertain a motion to adopt 20-10.
Second.
I'm sorry, Ms. Leary, you're first?
I'm
sorry. Didn't hear you. And so there's a motion on the floor by Ms. Leary, second by Mr. Springer, and discussion as the maker of the motion. Ms. Leary, you have first debate.
Sure. Thank you. So I recognize that the past few months have been extremely challenging for everyone for a variety of reasons. You know, it doesn't help when we've seen guidance and recommendations from top health experts across the country constantly changing. You know, that doesn't help with credibility. And just because this country was slow to start using and requiring cloth masks as a way to prevent COVID-19, the spread of COVID-19, it does not invalidate or reduce their actual effectiveness. It's no coincidence that our number of cases in this region have remained low. Our physical, the YK Delta's physical isolation from the rest of the state, paired with the folks in the majority of people in our region taking this very seriously, have kept our cases low. And it's a different story for everyone. We have all made sacrifices to keep one another safe. I thank everyone for playing, I thank each of you for playing your part to stay, you know, where we're at. I think we're still in a really good spot. I know people get anxiety seeing press releases about new cases, you know, but we are still very, very much in a good spot compared to the rest of the country and even the rest of the state. This past Sunday, we saw yet another, I'm getting like fatigued on hearing that we broke another record, right? That the state of Alaska broke another record on Sunday, 231 total positive cases, 186 of them being our residents, or not our residents, this residents of the state. Bethel is not an exception to COVID-19, but it is a rule. If we do not continue practicing the protective measures that have been proven to be effective, we will see an increase in cases, and eventually we will see our friends and loved ones experience the extreme health outcomes that until this week we had only heard about in other places. Y'all heard, you know, we lost someone this week to COVID-19. This individual was not a number in a database. They were a this was a person who was taken too soon by this virus that still kind of feels like something going on somewhere else, right? That it's not fully, even though we're, you know, we're all wearing masks here tonight. Thank you for that. You know, we've all had to do a number of things, but I assure you it is worth it. I'm a contact tracer as part of YK. I talk to people every day who have tested positive and who are undergoing symptoms. And let me tell you, it's not the flu. It is not fun. And it affects everyone differently. It kind of depends on your own physiology of your body, but no one is having a good time with this. I guarantee you that. And even though it's almost, I don't want to say worse, but it's a different spin when you're asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic and we've told you have to stay home for 2 weeks. You know, when you're feeling fine, it's like that's almost, but almost as bad as being sick with it and understanding how important it is and you're being required to quarantine. So the resolution before you tonight will not be enough for some. And for some, it's going to be, you know, crossing an imaginary line of going too far. But recognizing that Bethel is a second class city, you know, we've consulted, we've heard it multiple times now. We've consulted with multiple attorneys and the Alaska Municipal League. You know, we've determined that we do not have the power to enact or enforce our own health regulations. We can, however, require masks and social distancing in our city facilities. And at this point, you know, the majority of businesses in Bethel are requiring masks. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know why the city facilities would be an exception. If the rest of the town can comply, the rest of Anchorage, the rest of whole entire state, you know, we've got big companies in Anchorage that are behind this. We can do this too. We can do this too. It's recommended by CDC, by State of Alaska, by Dr. Zink, our chief medical officer. The list goes on. They are recommended. They have health benefits in protecting and preventative, for, you know, making sure we don't get those big numbers. So that is why I sponsored this tonight. You know, I care about our city employees, the public that the city employees have to interact with, and continuing operations. I worry about some of our departments that don't wear masks and are in close proximity. And I worry about what's going to happen when I have to call them and tell them they have to quarantine for 2 weeks and the whole department has to, because one of them tested positive. You know, it's not like this is an unthinkable situation. This is likely to happen as this goes on. but, you know, so it's because, we want to put as much in place as we can to protect the whole community and to be able to continue on kind of as we have been able to. That's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. I don't think that comment by Ms. Bacalar was toward you. Yeah.
Wait, what? I didn't say anything.
I thought I heard you say take a bath.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was to my daughter. I apologize. I thought I was on mute. She came into the room where I'm in this meeting and she was complaining about something. And I said, go take a bath. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Mom,
that was geared towards Ms. Leary.
Sorry.
Mr. Springer, as the maker or the second to the motion.
Thanks, Mr. Springer. A question for, trying to decide who is the real subject matter expert on resolutions. I guess I'll ask the clerk. And then if Ms. Bacalar wants to tell us to take a bath afterwards, that's fine too. It's a good thing you don't have your camera on, eh?
I'm never gonna live this one down, I can tell.
It'll be in the landmine next week. So in a resolution, the resolution is the expression of the feelings of a body, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And a resolution is made up of two parts. It's made up of whereases, which are generally the explanatory portion of the therefore be it resolved, which consists of the expression of the body. Is that also correct?
So the whereas statements identify the findings of fact, okay, I'm using quotes, of the now therefore be it resolved, the final action. It's reviewed as and considered a complete document in its entirety, mm-hmm, but the summary statement and the action, you're correct, is identified in the now therefore be it resolved.
Okay, so, you know, I got an email that I will not enter into the record, but an email from somebody who said, oh, yes, so now we're going to have the police out in force. I don't think I saw the word police in here. I would like, if police were going to, if this passes, I'd really like to see the police keep a bag of masks in their cars and do the same thing that's happened in the more, shall we say, aware parts of the world, and the police officer says, hey, you know what, you don't have a mask on, have a mask. So they say, where's your mask? Here's a mask. So, but that's not in here. And so the concern that was raised by at least one constituent, that this would be, you know, are you gonna charge my three-year-old going to the park without a mask? There's nothing in here. There's no putative measure in this resolution. The putative measure is catching COVID-19. So what it says here is there's, you know, one, two, three and a half pages of whereases, which are quite factual. There is some exemption from who can wear a face covering, which are the pretty much the standard ones. Persons younger than two, persons with a medical condition, mental health condition, or disability that prevents wearing a face covering, persons who are hearing impaired or commuting with a person who is hearing impaired, where the ability to see the mask is essential, persons for whom wearing a face covering would create a risk to the person related to their work, sitting in a restaurant waiting for your food. But the therefore be it resolved is that the Bethel City Council establishes a community policy that masks or similar face coverings should be worn when interacting in public spaces in the community of Bethel, consistent with this resolution, and establishes a mandate that masks or similar face coverings be worn in city facilities in accordance with this resolution. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but members of the public, at least, are required to wear masks when they come into the city office to transact business, right? We are also, I don't know if it's a mandate or not, but city employees are all wearing masks. Up at the shop where, you know, people are engaged in industrial work, I imagine, well, when a guy's running a grinder, he's wearing a mask anyway. I'm not sure if the drivers who don't really have any interaction with the public are wearing masks when they're out delivering water and stuff. But I don't have any problem with saying that we're mandating face coverings be worn in city facilities. And that would include, you know, city workers outside of the city office. I know when I see somebody who's doing something, who's working, you don't see many of the guys on the highway wearing masks. You don't see the flaggers wearing masks. You know, so there are a lot of people who are engaged in activities that are right in front of our faces who aren't wearing masks. But I don't have any problem with this, but the concern that there's some sort of an enforcement component, I don't see one. Am I correct, council member, in not seeing an enforcement component in either the whereases or the therefore be it resolved? So I'm all about masks. You know, everybody at my work wears one. When they don't, I yell at them. And luckily, I haven't had to do that lately because they're tired of me yelling. Yeah, I'm not wearing mine now because otherwise I'd sound like this. So I support this. Thanks.